What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to Stacking the Box podcast with Matt Verderam and Sterling Holmes. I am Sterling Holmes. Verderam, how are you?
I'm good. I'm tired because my daughter's been home sick, so I feel bad for her. But it's been a week. How are you doing?
I am at my grandparents' house. If you can tell from the suit of armor behind me, this is not my normal setup. I am in a town of 1800 doing this show from a hotspot because my grandpa decided to take the Wi-Fi with him to Florida. I know what you're thinking. That's not how it works. I know. So we're going to get through this. We're going to have a lot of fun. The NFL Sunday, Monday was wild. I'm glad we're here. This is going to help me out. Let's go first with, did we just see Statement Sunday in the NFL?
Yeah, first, I'm glad you've been able to join us from the medieval area, or the medieval era of time. I appreciate the armor you were telling me before we went on, that there's knights outside the house. There's a lot going on. But, listen, from the medieval period to you, happy Thanksgiving. I think it was Statement Sunday in a way. I think you saw the best teams in the league, at least some of them, showcase why they are such. You saw Dallas, after a bad loss in Green Bay, go to Minnesota and win by 37 points. You saw the Chiefs handle business against the Chargers in a very Mahomesian way. You saw Buffalo get off the deck, beat Cleveland, great against the run. Nick Chubb had 19 rushing yards in the game, and the Bills ran for a ton of yardage. It's something they normally do not do. So, you did see some of that, and you saw the Niners on Statement Monday just pound on Arizona. Now, there were some games that I think were less statements than just wins. I mean, the Eagles stuck by the Colts. The Bengals kind of muddled their way through the game against Pittsburgh. Baltimore barely beat Carolina, but Baltimore won. So not every team made a statement, but I thought in particular Dallas, the Niners, the Chiefs, the Bills, I thought they showed why they're the contenders that they are.
Does this say more about Dallas than it does the Vikings? Or is this the Vikings just having a one-off bad game? We've seen the elite teams this season have bad games. Eagles against Washington, Chiefs against the Colts, but nothing right to the extent of a, was it 40-3 drubbing that took place?
That was a killing. That was a ritualistic killing. But that said, I think it says something about both of them. Look, the Vikings are not what would typically be associated with an 8-1 record. Like, they are a good team. They're not a great team. I don't think anybody really thinks Minnesota is going to a Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl. Like, Minnesota's fine. Minnesota's going to win the division, could very well win a playoff game. But I don't think you look at the Vikings and think to yourself, yeah, that's a juggernaut. That's a team that's going to go, you know, 15-2 and roll through the playoffs. I don't feel that way. Dallas, the Cowboys, when they're right and they're focused and they're not taking penalties and they're not turning the ball over and they're not making dumb mistakes, the Cowboys are really talented. Maybe a legit threat to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. They have a great front. They get a ton of pressure. Dak, in my eyes, is a top 10 quarterback. Tony Pollard, despite Jerry Jones's insistence on playing Zeke, is a great player, or at least a really good one, a really dynamic weapon. So I think it showed you what Dallas is capable of. The question with Dallas is, can they string that together for 3 weeks in January? Can they do it three games in a row? Or is it one of these things with Dallas where they look like that 1 week and then the next week they look like they did in Green Bay? That's always the question with that.
Yeah, Tony Pollard as a receiver, getting him involved there was very nice to watch. I will say Zeke does still serve a role on that roster, and they used him in his role. Short yardage. He falls forward better than almost anyone in the NFL. I mean, those two touchdown runs, they gave Pollard multiple opportunities on the goal line. He couldn't get in. Zeke, with his lumbering self, his bad knees, whatever it is, falls forward to touchdowns. They're starting to get it right in Dallas, which leads me into my next question. Who is the best team currently in the NFL?
I think right now it's Kansas City. Like, if you just said going into Thanksgiving, who's the best team? And the Chiefs. The Chiefs are. Now, they don't have the best record. The Eagles have the best record. But I'm not doing a power ranking. You're asking me who I think the best team is. I think it's Kansas City because right now, I think Kansas City's defense is average. It's middle of the road. Although I do like that they've gotten 10 sacks in the last 2 weeks, and a lot of that has come from just a four-man pressure. It has not been a ton of blitzing. And against two of the teams that have given up the fewest sacks. So that's been impressive. But what really has been impressive is offensively, it's a weird commentary because Mahomes has a year in his past where he's got 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. This is the best he's ever played. Right now is the best Patrick Mahomes has ever played in his life. They are, offensively speaking, a complete and utter juggernaut. And they have half their guys injured. Like, it hasn't mattered. They found something with Pacheco running the ball. They're getting the balance that they need there. Kelsey's having an all-time year. He's 33 years old. It doesn't seem to matter. You know, it doesn't matter who they plug in at receiver. Whoever it is catches the ball. And Mahomes, like, that game against the Chargers on Sunday night, when they got the ball down 4 with a minute 40 to go, like, you just had no doubt. No doubt. Like, they're scoring. He's going right down the field. And they did. Barely needed a minute. So I think it's them. You could make the case Philly. You could make the case Buffalo. I think right now it's Kansas City.
I think right now at this moment, it's Kansas City. I know Buffalo fans are up in arms saying, well, the Bills beat the Chiefs. Doesn't that matter? I go, sure, it matters. But that was at that point in time.
Right.
Where we're at right now, Kansas City looks to be the clear cut best team in the NFL. You mentioned it with Mahomes. He's on another level. Josh Allen, don't know if it's the injury. I don't know if it's the wear and tear, which you have mentioned a ton as the season's progressed. The right. usage rate for Josh Allen eventually is going to catch up to them. Miami, I'm sure the Dolphins, all those fans are sitting here saying, what about us? What about us? They can make the case, but when it comes down to it, are you taking Tua in a game? Are you taking Mahomes in a game? You got to go with the best quarterback, the best player in the entire NFL.
When I watch the Chiefs right now, there's a level of, I don't want to say dominance. There's a level of there's like a baseline level with them where you're just like that team. I don't care what, unless they just completely blow a tire, they're going to be in every game they play, and they're probably going to win most of those games. And you're going to have to play at a level where you're probably going to have to play at an A-plus level and hope the Chiefs make a mistake or two. I mean, now granted, there are a few teams that I think, you know, could play an A game and beat them, the Bills, the Eagles, stuff like that. But, like, I look at Miami, and I think Miami's really good. I also think that if Miami's going to beat the Chiefs, they need the Chiefs to make a few mistakes. They just do. Like, they can't – I don't think they can stop them. Like, I really think if the Chiefs played them, they'd score 50 points. I don't think Miami would get off the field against them. And that's where you start looking at this, and it's not just Mahomes, although he's having an unbelievable year, and I think he's, at this point, obviously the MVP of the league. It's Chris Jones, who's having his own best year of his career. It's a young secondary that is really starting to play very well. It's Nick Bolton, who I thought earlier in the year really kind of struggled at times, who's not now starting to play much better. It's the rest of that front around Chris Jones, whether it's Saunders, whether it's Clark, whether it's Karlaftis or Dunlap or Dana, who had two sacks on Sunday night. It's all of that. And it's a team right now that, listen, they're not infallible. They could lose, but they are right now the best team in the NFL as we approach Thanksgiving.
Since we both agree with KC at number one, who's two and three? Let's just do a top three right now. Chiefs are coming in at number one. Who's your second and third best team in the NFL?
Philly and Buffalo, in that order. The Eagles are 9-1. They deserve to get a ton of credit. The problem, if I have any problem with Philly, and I really don't have many, I think they're a very well-balanced team. I think they're very talented. I do wonder if they get into a game where they've really got to chuck it all over the yard, like, can they do it? Can they truly get into a game with an Allen, with a Mahomes, with a Burrow, with, you know, where, hey, you got to throw the ball and you got to throw for 350 because running the ball is not cutting it. Like, can you do it? And Hurts has been excellent this year. Maybe they can do it. I mean, I'm not saying they can't. I don't know. We haven't had to see him do it. I'd put Buffalo third. I know there's cases to be made. Miami's winning the division, technically, all that stuff. I still think Buffalo is going to be a force to be dealt with in January and February, potentially. I do. I think they're still really, really good. A couple bad games, I'm not going to go jump and ship here. I think the Bills are really good. That said, I do think the Bills, they have to continue to find what they found against Cleveland, which is a way to run the ball without Allen having to be the bell cow, which is a defense stepping up. I think they need to get healthy in the secondary. They need Tre'Davious White back. They need Poyer to stay on the field, because if that's not the case, then I think these other teams, like the Chiefs, like the Bengals, I think they can just spread them out and throw the ball all over them, and it becomes a lot harder for Buffalo.
Well, that was a big buzzkill, because that was exact my top three as well. That was not as fun. I was really hoping you and I could go back and forth. I was going to make the case for Buffalo, make the case for the Eagles, but that was just – it feels like a clear-cut top three. Miami is still on the outside looking in. I don't know what more they have to do. Maybe tighten it up defensively. Cowboys, yeah. I need to see more consistency from the Cowboys, blowing a game to, again, the Green Bay Packers and Rodgers. Everyone kept picking them to bounce back, and that was going to be their jumping off point. No, that was not the jumping off point for Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. So I need to see more consistency from the Cowboys. I do think it's pretty clear it's the Chiefs, Eagles, and Bills, with Miami, Dallas, Vikings in that next tier.
I put San Francisco in there.
You're ready to put San Fran. Jimmy G's the question mark for me.
He is, but they're really good. I think we've talked about all year. Like, there's a clear-cut top three in the NFL, and I still think there is. I think Miami's closed the gap. I think Dallas has closed the gap. I think the Niners have closed the gap. To me, it's the top three, and then it's those three. And then after that, then come talk to me. I mean, Baltimore, like, I know there are also probably Ravens fans who would be like, why not the Ravens? You know why? Because you throw for 100 yards a game. That's why. Like, that's why. Because that offense cannot score points in a lot of these games. Like, I feel like Baltimore, it's the same song, different dance every year. Like, it's they're going to get in the playoffs. They're going to play somebody where they've got to throw the ball, and they can't. And we're going to sit here and have this whole mindless discussion for another offseason about, well, you know, what about Lamar? What about him? I mean, he's a terrific player. And honestly, to his credit, I think it's more about the fact they have no receivers. But, like, whether it's that or it's him, I mean, the bottom line is the bottom line. You know, so I struggle with it with them.
When DeMarcus Robinson is your best wide receiver, that's not a very deep group.
Yeah, like you're just, it's just not going to happen. Like they're gonna get into a playoff game against Kansas City or Buffalo or Miami or Cincinnati, where like they have to throw the ball and it's over. It's just not going to happen because they can't do it.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's look into the future. Number one, should the Jets bench Zach Wilson?
Yes, they should have done it yesterday. Yes. Mm. Actually should have done it on Sunday.
Did you hear the comments post-game from Zach Wilson? Asked, oh, yeah. Did you feel like the offense let the defense down? He responded with a no.
Yeah, he has 77 passing yards in the game. Look, I ripped into them in my column and on a video on this YouTube channel on Monday. Robert Saleh, that was the most gutless last 2 minutes of a game I've ever seen coached in my life. Like you're tied at three. You're playing in a huge game, a very, very important game. You need a field goal to win. You need to go 35 yards, something like that. And you have 2 minutes to do it with timeouts. And you're running the ball into the line, because you are so terrified of your quarterback that you're unwilling to try to throw the ball. Look, man, if you're that terrified, then bench his fucking ass. Then sit him down. Because I got to tell you, if I was a defensive player, I would have been ready to fight somebody on the sideline. Like I've sat there and played my ass off and held the Pats to 3 points all day, so that when you get the ball with an opportunity to win the game and send us to a 7-3 record and a split with the Pats and all the rest of it, you run the ball into the line. And then you punt, and like a dope, the guy punts it on a line drive right down the middle of the field, and the guy and New England runs it back 84 yards for a touchdown. But no, I just think with Saleh, like, I'm not letting him off the hook here. It was gutless. Play to win the game or bench him. Like, do something. Either get him out of the game and then go try to win, or just let him throw the ball. Now, I'll be the first one to say he was awful. He was awful. He threw zero picks in that game. I watched that game. He should have thrown six. He threw this, honest to Christ, he hit six different Pats guys right in the hands. It was unbelievable. If the Pats could have caught the ball defensively, they would have won by 20 points on pick sixes alone. But it was a joke. And then that statement after the game's even worse. I think if you're the Jets, if you're Saleh, you've got to sit there in a quiet moment and say to yourself, I'd like to be here for a long time. That guy is not going to be here for a long time. I've got to hold the locker room. And nobody in that locker room is going to respect me if I continue to go down the road with him. So I've got to sit him. whether it's for White or it's for Flacco, it doesn't matter. You've got to show that you're trying to win. Because right now you got guys in that room looking around going, we trying to win? We trying to win, or are we just trying to develop this guy who clearly doesn't think he's got anything wrong with him?
And that's where the frustration has to lie, is I understand the Jets' predicament of, is Zach Wilson going to be the franchise future quarterback of this organization? No, I understand that. No, I don't think he is either. But I'm saying that's a tough line when you went into this year thinking it's a rebuilding season and you're at the point that you're at, and now you have no idea. Because you know Joe Flacco in 2022, he's not the guy.
He's brutal.
And if you're the Jets, you also understand, are you winning a playoff game with Joe Flacco? But for the actual organization, for the players involved, you do have to try and win games. You're not going to win games with Zach Wilson overthrowing dudes 30 yards above their head into the freaking stands on a wide receiver screen. It's just not going to happen. Zach Wilson is not that guy. I was honestly okay if Zach Wilson would have taken a lot of credit post-game saying, this is on me, I bleeped up. But him coming out and saying that, if you put him back in, if you're Robert Saleh and he's there next game starting, you're going to have a riot on your hands, and deservedly so.
Yeah, no, you are. It's a joke. It's a clown show. You've got to think about the other 52 guys in that room. You're trying to go to the playoffs. Like, there are guys, I'm sure, in that room that have bonuses in their contract for getting to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You have guys who are toward the end of their careers trying to get to the playoffs. Like, you can't – you're not developing him. Like, I know some – you know, you get these teams that are always like, well, you know, we've got to stick with him. No, you don't. He sucks. Just be honest with yourselves. That guy's not winning anything. He stinks. Move on. The sooner the better. Play White. Play Flacco. If you don't get to the playoffs with him, fine, at least you tried. Like, sitting there with this guy and watching him just stink up the joint 1 week after the next is not doing anybody any damn good.
Speaking of moving on, let's look into the future. Number two, more likely to make the playoffs, the Commanders or the Chargers?
Chargers are a lot of fun, aren't they? Just, it's like a carnival ride. I mean, you know, so I'll give my answer, and then I want to actually kind of dive into something quick with you. I think the answer is actually probably the Chargers, because their schedule is a joke the rest of the way. And Washington, that division's really tough. Like, they got a lot of tough games left. So I'll say the Chargers, although I have no faith in that. Like, for an example, the Chargers are playing the Cardinals this week, and you're not going to kill the Cardinals. They're probably going to lose by 20 points. Like, it's just, that's who they are. Like, they'll go out there, like, Colt McCoy will light them up, and they'll lose. Right? And so, but I will say the Chargers, because I just think their schedule is such, like, they have the Cardinals, they have the Broncos, they have the Raiders, they have the Colts. Like, my God, if you can't win those games, it's time to have a house cleaning. But while I want to hear your answer on this as well, like, is it time to have a different conversation about Herbert a little bit here? Or is it unfair in your eyes?
Let me say this. I have the Chargers. I think the Chargers are a better team than Washington. You mentioned it, the division of who would have thought? NFC East, right. Really difficult. It's going to be hard for Washington. Justin Herbert is a good quarterback only against the Kansas City Chiefs. Lombardi only calls a good game plan against the Kansas City Chiefs. Any other game, it's checked down 14 times to Austin Eckler. Against Kansas City, though, Mike Williams is prime Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson, throw him the rock. I don't understand why they only seemingly have a good game plan against good teams. Every other team, it's, let's check down, can't trust Justin Herbert, he's Matt Schaub.
Yeah,
Justin Herbert's a good quarterback. He is just not on the same page with Joe Lombardi. Those two together bring out the worst in each other. Justin Herbert's not Josh Allen. He's not Patrick Mahomes, but he's in that next tier down. I think he's more talented than Tua Tagovailoa. If that's the case, you want to make it.
Yes.
I mean, he might be as talented as Joe Burrow.
But I think he's more talented than Burrow.
I would agree. But my point is, the injuries have piled up. The offensive game plan is not there. They bring out the worst in each other.
You know, the reason I say this, though, is at some point, like, does he have to start winning some games here? Like, I mean, and I know there's an argument of, hey, he drove him down the field. Like, they did score, and they did take the lead late. And that's a valid argument, and I'll hear it. But my argument would be with this, you know, and I will say, I go on this radio show in Miami every Wednesday, the host, Orlando, who's a great guy, we go back and forth every week because he's an unabashed Dolphins fan, and he's always like, I would have Tua over Herbert because Tua actually wins games, and Herbert never wins games. And we argue because I always say, look, I think Herbert's a better player, but, like, Tua does win, you know, fair enough. I'm not a big, like, believer in that all the time. I think there's a lot of shades of gray. The point is, I'm coming around on this with him a little bit in one regard. Not so much the Tua to Herbert thing, because I think that's kind of just like a made-up argument. But I do think there is an argument here. Like, the Chargers were up 17-13 and had the ball inside the 5-yard line at the end of the first half, and they were getting the ball coming out of the second half. They can't punch it in. They kick a field goal. Then they get the ball. They do nothing. They punt the ball. Chiefs get a field goal. They're still up by 4 with the ball. Can't do anything. Get one first down, they have to punt again. They just, like, they have so many opportunities, and they can never finish. Like, they can never find a way. Now, granted, at the end, he made an unbelievable throw on third and whatever it was, 17-18 to Allen, okay? So I still am a big believer in Herbert, but I do think we are getting a little bit to a point of, like, can you ever just win the game? Can you ever just find a way to do that? And everybody who says, well, what about late in the game? Okay, what about the entire second half of the game where you just can't do jack all day, all night? Like, at some point, it's on you, man. Like, you got to do something here. Now, I don't think it's all on him because I think their coaching stinks, their defense stinks, okay? He's been asked to do a ton. But I do think it's fair to start looking at him and going, if you're going to be that guy, top 5 in the league, you got to be that guy. Like, you got to win games. Like, those, you're top 5 in the league, you're in the playoffs every year. Mm-hmm. They're never in the playoffs. And I think at some point, like, it does at least somewhat fall at his feet.
You could always make the case that Keenan Allen's been injured a lot. You can make the case that Mike Williams played one quarter in that game, then he got hurt. But look what Mahomes was dealing with.
Mahomes was playing with you, me, and a guy in the third row. Like, I mean, can win the game.
Yep, and that's where if you're going to be known as an elite game-changing quarterback, at some point you have to elevate those guys and get it done. Now, he looked great throwing the ball to Joshua Palmer, right? I understand that case. You can make it, but I'm with you. You have to eventually win games. Putting up numbers when it does not matter, just for the case of putting up numbers, it was a little bit like the Dak Prescott situation, right, in Dallas. Always putting up empty calories, those empty stats. Eventually, you have to come away with a victory. Let's get into the future number 3. Would you take the Texans or the field for the number 1 overall draft pick?
The Texans. They are a rancid disaster of an organization. Normally, I'd say the field, but I honest to God, are they going to win another game? Are they going to win one more game? I don't know, man. Like, maybe they got one more in them, and I think that might be all there is. Like, does anybody else, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, does anybody else have two wins, or does there be at least
three? The Pittsburgh and Denver and Cleveland Raiders, Jacksonville,
they're not getting three. They're not getting three. The Texans, I would take them.
By the way, the Rams have 3 wins. Denver has 3 wins. The Raiders have 3 wins. Who would have thought that 10 games into the season, those 3 teams with all the offseason hype would only have 3 wins? Not I. But yeah, Texans, they are by far the worst team in the NFL. The Davis Mills, that whole good story, right? It's over now. I was team Davis Mills. He was fun to watch. It was enjoyable seeing that guy go out there and perform with a horrendous team. He's not it. He's just a guy. They can't get anything going on the ground. Damian Pierce had under 10 yards rushing last week. Brandon Cooks is upset. Your best wide receiver is sideways with the organization. Defense is horrendous. I have no idea what's going on. They're tanking, and I don't think the future looks bright. Like, you look around at an organization, you have Laremy Tunsil. He's going to be gone, I would assume. I feel like that's a guy who's going to be a trade piece. congratulations, you draft a quarterback 1-1 and you literally have nothing else on that roster. That's going to be a long rebuild process.
If you were CJ Stroud or Bryce Young, would you tell them I'm not going there?
I mean, that's tough. 1-1. I mean, that's tough. That's money you're turning down. That's the pedigree you're turning down. I wouldn't have the stones to do that, but I wouldn't be shocked. Because again, I'm telling you right now, there's nothing.
I would tell them, don't draft me. Don't do it. Because I'm not, I will do everything in my power to get the hell out of there. I want no part of that. I am a big believer that, yes, look, you need talent, you need work ethic, all that stuff to succeed in anything, but it's certainly in the NFL. So much of quarterback success in the NFL, I will always believe this, is tied to where you go, the situation you are brought into. Do I think Patrick Mahomes would have been a great player in Chicago? Yeah, but he wouldn't be this. This was the Camelot for him. I mean, he got to sit for a year behind a great veteran who taught him the ropes. He got Andy Reid and all those positional skill players. Like, it was perfect. Would he have done that if he went to Chicago or Jacksonville? I mean, look, he'd probably be a lot like the guy, you know, all these stats, but like they don't win. I'm a huge believer in situation. And that is a disaster. That team, as you astutely point out, I mean, they have nothing. That team is a mess. You couldn't pay me to go there.
Yeah, it's wild being in a rebuild for multiple seasons and you still have this to deal with. Still dealing with that. Yeah. Let's look into the future number four. Will the Ravens win a playoff game this season?
So I talked about my doubts with them earlier. That all said, I actually think they will win a playoff game because they're going to be at home, I think, in the first weekend. Look, they're going to win that division. Cincinnati's a game back. They play each other week 18 in Cincinnati. The Ravens won the first matchup. The problem for Cincinnati is the toughest schedule remaining in football, and the Ravens are the easiest. I just think the Ravens are going to find their way to win that division, and I would give them a game. I think they'll win a game in the playoffs. The problem is I do not think they're going to win multiple games because I do not think they can throw the ball. And you look at them, they're 7-3. They might run the table. I mean, they don't play anybody the rest of the year until they get to Cincinnati. But I do not believe in them offensively. I don't. And maybe they prove me wrong. And if they do, I'll throw all the flowers at their feet, man. But I think they can win a playoff game, but I think that's probably about it.
It all comes down to who they play. I know that's a cop-out answer, but it's true. I mean, if you look at it right now, they'd be playing the Buffalo Bills, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not beating the Bills.
No, they're not.
I mean, and that's what it comes down to is I don't think they beat Miami. I don't think they beat the Bills.
Okay.
If they beat New England, sure. They could beat Cincinnati, sure. The Jets or the Chargers. But if they get either Miami or if they get the Buffalo Bills, good luck. We don't think the Chiefs are getting off that one spot, at least as of now. Two spot for sure seems to be either Miami or Buffalo, depending on how that goes down, right? And then the three seed. Man. You think it could be Baltimore?
I think Baltimore could be the one seed if the Chiefs slip up, man. Like, Baltimore, have you looked at their schedule?
I've not.
Their schedule's ridiculous. Like, I mean, I'll pull it up and read it to the audience real quick. Dude, it is ridiculous, that team's schedule. Here's Baltimore the rest of the way. Okay, let me get this here. The Ravens, starting obviously this week, at Jacksonville, home to Denver. At Pittsburgh, at Cleveland, home to Atlanta, home to Pittsburgh, at Cincinnati. I mean, dude, if they even are like remotely alive mentally for these games, maybe at Cleveland with Watson there, it was like somewhat difficult. Maybe they're going to kill these teams. Pittsburgh twice, Atlanta, Jacksonville, Denver, like, Baltimore could be the one. I don't think Baltimore will be the one, but I think it could be. I think they could definitely be a two seed. I think they'll win a game. Or at least they could win a game, depending, as you said, and you're right, upon the matchup. Look, let's bring in Heisler, who's uh, who's hotter than a firecracker right now as far as his picture going here. What's going on, Heisler? How, you getting ready for Thanksgiving? You excited?
Of course. It's an opportunity to have my phone in one hand, my two kids beating the crap out of each other in the other hand, while also simultaneously trying to bet and avoid the Thanksgiving sleepies with too much food and maybe partake in a couple of adult beverages as well. Very excited for Thanksgiving. By the way, you said hotter than a firecracker. Overall, guys, we continue to do very well here on this wonderful little show. But we had our first losing week last week, going 2-3, but still 22-12-1 against the spread here in the first 11 weeks of the season. So I'll take it. And Sterling, I think, is this a game where you're going to go ahead and do your victory lap? I'm trying to remember, was it you were, there was one game I knew that you were on that Verderam and I went against you. Was it?
No, it was Dallas, Minnesota. Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations. You guys won.
Oh, never mind. Never mind then.
Yeah. Congrats. Well, way to just rub that one in. Way to rub that one in.
I honestly came in ready to give you your props. I was not trying to be a douchebag.
Yeah. Been ready to give me my props. Yeah. What game did you pick? The one where the team got blown out 40-3? Yeah. Congrats, asshole.
Well done. Yeah, I want you tonight, when you're sitting down at the Knights at the round table, I want you thinking about that. But by the way, Heisler, do you, like, you got kids, obviously, as the wife. Do you try to parent your kids on Thanksgiving, or do you just let, like, the extended family handle that as they're running around just threatening each other's lives?
So that's a really good question. This will be the first Thanksgiving where both kids have been mobile, per se. Yeah. You know, I have almost 2-year-old and a 3.5-year-old. They're exactly 21 months apart. So last time, you know, the youngest one was just, you kind of had to hold him, or you just kind of plop him on the ground and he couldn't really go anywhere.
No.
Now it's going to be a different scenario. So I know for sure any sort of TV limits are not going to be in play, because we'll probably put on the Macy's Day Parade, hope that they're entertained by that. The oldest one really likes to help cook. So that could be, you know, some sort of form of entertainment for a little bit away from football.
Sure.
So I think kind of the rules go out the window. I think the lone rule is just don't beat the hell out of your brother. Try not to make each other cry, and don't grab the dog's tail when you're chasing her around.
You see, I'm a big believer in, like, we go to my wife's families and they have a big family and they're all really like that Midwestern communal spirit, you know, and like and back home, they would have just opened the door and let the kids run outside, shut the door, locked it and called it an afternoon. You know, hope somebody picked them up and brought them to a fire station. But in, out here, everybody's like, oh, great, it's the kids. You know, like, there you go. Here you go. Have fun. I'm going to go drink. I can't take it anymore. Have fun, guys. Yeah, and by the way, TV limits. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, man, if I walked in on Thanksgiving and my kids were watching, like, Bloodsport, I'd be like, that's fine. Enjoy it. Have a nice time. There you go. What do you guys, what are the kids watching? Saw 2? That's all right. You know, but put on Saw 3 if they like it. You put on the trilogy.
It's a marathon. A Thanksgiving,
that's right.
Hey, marathon kids, for the children.
Watch this. Somebody's going to take a bone saw to the leg. Hey. Gather around, kids. Whatever it takes. You know, whatever gives me some damn peace and quiet.
What a great setup for then when you're watching somebody carve the turkey a little bit later on. You sharp right. The knife, and the kids just, they turn ghostly white.
That's right. You know, it's funny. That's great. My dad's father, he always used to, he had, like, the electric carving knife. He always knew, like, when dinner was going to you know, just zip right through that thing. Oh God, that's great though. That's yeah, you're right. That scare the hell out of kids. Yeah, I ought to do it. Maybe in a couple of years. You know, maybe she's only 5. It's a little young, but she's 7. You know, so you got to grow up at some point.
Chevy Chase in the vacation movies with the chainsaw, like.
Oh God, those movies, man. They're awesome. Those movies are so funny.
Yeah,
hold up. Oh, by the way, somebody asked you. Chris Albright asked, "Did you get those Taylor Swift tickets?" Or did Ticketmaster kill you?
Both happened. I had both Ticketmaster go down. I don't think I able. So we were talking last week on the show that I was, like, in the waiting room for a couple hours. Like, I had it on the other computer over on the other side of the office, and I did get a pair of tickets. My wife was very pleased. But I didn't purchase the tickets until like 5:30. Like we were in the waiting room.
That's a long wait,
man. Yeah. I mean, like it was fortunately, like I was working, I like had it on the other screen. So when I finally got the call in, I was like, oh, all right. And then I purchased them and then it kept kicking me out and then tried to buy them again. Like the whole thing was just an absolute nightmare. And by the way, like Ticketmaster didn't even have the worst week when it comes to that. Did you guys see that people were buying tickets in Qatar to go to the World Cup and the World Cup ticket app wasn't even working? Like, it's one thing to piss off Taylor Swift fans. It's another thing to piss off international soccer fans. Like, the level of rage is close, but soccer fans' rage compared to Taylor Swift rage from people is at a completely different level. I wouldn't want to be anybody associated with that app over the last handful of days or so. It's been rough.
That's why they're not selling alcohol. They know what would happen.
Are you guys big in the World Cup, or do you not care?
I've started to actually my bets have been going pretty well so far, which means I'm due to just go on an absolute ice cold streak. So for now, I'm very into the World Cup because the bets have been doing okay for bet side. Okay.
So I do not like, look, I played soccer growing up. I do not care. Like, I don't watch the Premier League. I don't watch MLS. It's fine. I will watch the World Cup when it comes on and you know, I'll learn the players' names and then I'll forget them in 4 years. Oh, yeah, that guy. I remember that guy. You know, that's basically my level of involvement. I turn on the United States game against Wales on Monday, and I'm thinking to myself, probably incorrectly, probably if you're a soccer fan listening to this, like, look, understand that I don't know much about soccer. So, like, don't be like indignation, like soccer guy. It's like, oh, like, just breathe. But I'm watching this game and I'm thinking to myself, like, the United States is how many people in the country? I mean, the population's what now? Like 300 million, something like that?
Like 365.
Okay. Wales has like 74 people. And I'm watching this thing thinking to myself, like, if we don't beat Wales, this is about as bad as it gets. And of course, because we're the United States in men's soccer, we have a draw. And I love afterwards. The only thing I really will say, I truly enjoy about soccer, when air sport, the commentators just rip the crap out of the team. Like, Landon Donovan's killing them. Alexi Lalas is killing them. Like, there's no holding back at all. Like, they're just murdering the officials for how bad they were in the game. Like, you never see that in another sport. Like, American sports, it's always like, oh, well, you know, you just got to go out there and play a little harder and all these cliches. And these guys are like, they sucked. Second half of the game, like, I can get down with that. But I cannot get down with these guys who, like, they get, like, a cleat mark to the ankle. You would think there needs to be an amputation on the field. Like, writhing in pain, screaming. Then they bring out, like, I love, like, they bring out the stretcher that weighs probably about 6 pounds. And like eight guys are bringing it out, more, you know, like, and then you get the guy, like, they got the spray and there's like four trainers. And you're like, what are we doing? We all know this fucking guy is going to get up and go running down the field. Like, my stance on this, don't blow the whistle if he's on the ground. Fuck him. Like, if you just keep playing, keep going. And if he's on the ground and you just keep passing him, fine. He'll get up eventually. Now, look, if he stays down for 5 minutes, then blow the whistle because he probably really hurt. But if he's willing to stay down for 5 minutes, fine. But then when that five-minute marker hits, he's out for the game. Leave him. If a bone's not sticking out, leave him on the field. It drives me nuts. It drives me, you know, they know the other team's about to have a break the other direction, so they're on the ground like, oh, God, my hamstring, it's exploded out of my thigh. And then the ball starts coming the other direction, and magically, oh, look at that, he's good to go again. He starts making a run toward goal. Like, I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I absolutely can't stand it. Leave them on the field unless a bone is visible or we've passed 5 minutes of him laying on the ground in pain.
I can get behind that. Sterling, you like to play the you have to be down for 5 minutes. And if you're down for more than 5 minutes, then you're awarded stoppage play towards the end of the game.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in. This sounds like the best, the only soccer I might watch. This is outstanding.
Plus, think about the strategic implications of this. Like, it's a tie with a draw. I'm sorry, with like 4 minutes to go in the second half. Okay, and some asshole gets slide tackled, and he's not really hurt, but he's down. Right, it's one of those like clearly like a fake injury, but now he's on the ground, and they're trying to draw like attention to it, but the official's like, no, 5 minutes, right? So now like the other team's like buzzing around goal. And now you know, like, his own teammates are going to be, get up, you son of a bitch. Get up, get down. Like, we're in trouble, you know. And then, like, the announcers are like, it's been 3 minutes and 57 seconds. Can they hold on?
The power play style, like, yeah. Bottom left corner of the screen.
Unbelievable. Like, Bobby's been down for 4 minutes and 12 seconds, but they can't hold him off. Like, the theater would be unbelievable, right? Like, oh, I'm here for it. It would make the sport so much better. I also appreciate how nobody knows when the fuck the game ends, except for the official. Like, they're like, it's 7 minutes of stoppage time, but that doesn't actually mean it's going to end at 97 even. Like, because then like somebody else goes down during stoppage time, and so there's just chaos. It's like, this could be it. Nobody knows. Like, it's like could you imagine if you're watching like an NBA playoffs game and you said no idea? Like, somebody's frantically coming down the court with no time on the actual
Do
clock.
We hold the ball? Do we hold it?
Like, what do? Do we go for broke? Like, nobody has any idea what the hell's happening. Like, welcome to the World Cup, folks. Enjoy it. Awesome, awesome sport.
The more that you think about it, like, I hadn't really considered that aspect of stoppage time. The general idea, like, the sport that's, like, has the most concern for bribery. Within the context of FIFA.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know what we're going to do? We know that we have millions upon millions of dollars riding on every single game. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to let the one guy on the field determine when the game ends. And we're not going to tell anybody else.
Right.
I might have to start rethinking about betting on soccer now. Purely for that reason.
You know 100%. There's some official from like, you know, whatever. We'll use our own country. This way I'm not accused of any kind of nefarious thought. You know, there's like some American official, we're playing and we're like tied with Iran or something. And the official's like, United States is on a run. I'm not blowing the whistle. We're going to let it play out, boys. And then like Iran has like a 2-on-1 the other direction. They're like, that's it. That's it. Game. You know, like, it's unbelievable. It is the most ridiculous, like, nobody really knows what the hell's happening, so I that's where I stand on this. We've lost all control.
Yeah, I think there's a fix that could be made, but now if we're talking about the pure drama, like, now I want to keep it, but I think what the referee should do is write it down. You know, it's like a magician when they they're like, all right, I'm going to now predict what card that you have. And they're going to like write it down on a piece of paper. And then they put it in an envelope and they give it to a bird and the bird flies away. And you pick a card and they throw the card. All of a sudden he's like, all right, is this the card? And it, you know, comes back from the bird's mouth. That's a play there. Is Maisie a soccer fan?
Maisie, do you like soccer? You do it. Did you play soccer?
Yep.
You get a trophy? Yeah, you got a trophy, right? Who was your coach? Me. Yeah. Yeah, we had a fun time. We had a fun time. Somehow I survived.
For anybody that wants an understanding of what that's like, go rent the movie Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell.
That's right. All right, you.
Bertram as a coach would be fun, scary, disheartening. All nice. About throwing elbows. Somehow in soccer, you really got to get your elbows involved. Go for the kneecaps, I believe.
Anyone without
shin guards, give a good kick to.
We started out, you know, the team, it was a little bit of a struggle at first, 4- and 5-year-old division, co-ed. So, you know, first, like, everybody's good. It's like magnet soccer. You know, you got to break that tendency. But I'll tell you what, by the end of the year, we were kicking ass.
We
went 5-0, 6-0. We were taking, that's right. It was me and my buddy who, it was great. He'd show up. He's a great guy. I won't say his name because he's a teacher, but he's a teacher. And he's like everything like you would never think of as a teacher. Like, just like, I mean, very nice. I'm like a really, really smart guy, but like just the kind of guy who like would love to just sit down, like pound beers. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Let the kids go. Like, do whatever the hell they want. His son was also on the team. We had fun. We had a good time.
Is the 4 and 5 year old division? I know that I've gone in like all sorts of directions here, but is that still amoeba soccer where it's just 20 kids all in the same area of the field?
Yeah, basically. Yes. And then like three kids are like picking flowers and another kid's crying for reasons that don't make sense. And you know, like maybe I remember like for like the first 3 quarters of the year, I'm like, what's your favorite part of soccer? It's like snack. Okay. And then as the year went on, like
granola bars. Yeah. That was the plan.
Early on in the season, she was like scared to get into the mix and kick the ball. She was one of the small kids. And her favorite thing in life is, well, she calls it frozen ice cream, but like frozen yogurt. And she loves McDonald's, right? And you have to like ration McDonald's because you try to be a responsible parent. So I was getting annoyed with her because I'm like, man, you just kick the ball. Like, she really can actually play. Like, she's pretty good, but like, she gets nervous about the crowd of the people around it. So finally, I pulled her to the side. I'm like, Maisie, you go in there, you kick the ball, buy a McDonald's. Maisie proceeds, without any hesitation, runs in there and just kicks the crap out of this one kid. Like, kicks him 3 times in the shin and then just throws the ball out of the group. You're like, there we go. All right. Like, so that, you know what? I like to point out that's coaching. You understand what motivates the individual, and then you use that as a tool to win a game.
Yeah, it's like your daughter became the MJ meme. She's like, I took that personally.
She did. She literally didn't even say anything. She looked at me and was like, all right, and then went in there and just started wailing on some kids' shins. So it worked out. All right, we have derailed. We've talked about soccer for 20 minutes. So Chris Albright asked me, did you go crazy at school, Verderam, about the snow pants from last week? Ben, you weren't here for. I don't think you had left at that point. So for people who are unaware, real quick, cliff notes of this. Last Tuesday, sent Maisie to school. We got like a quarter inch of snow. We got like a dusting of snow. It was melting as it was hitting the ground. I sent Maisie to school with a winter jacket, gloves, hat, whatever. School sends out an email, not just to me, but like an all parents list, you know. Listen, if you didn't bring snow pants and snow boots for the kids, they're going to have to watch the other kids play from the sidewalk. And I had a adverse reaction to that email. I was not pleased with that. I was like, what are we doing? This is insane. So I said on the podcast, I'm like, if I'm going to go to that school and if I find out they made Maisie watch these other kids play, they're about to have a very bad day because I'm going to go berserk. Well, as it turns out, the school's soft, and nobody went outside and played because it was so cold, so they kept everybody inside. So I didn't go berserk. So I'm like, well, fair is fair. At least everybody did the same thing. But let me tell you something right now. You're asking kids to wear snow pants in a quarter inch of snow. If she falls down in it face first, she's not going to fucking drown. Like, there's no snow. Like, what are we doing? I'm not – we've lost our way as a society. We really have. Like, what do you care? She's wearing snow pants. It's a quarter inch of snow. If that, by the way, it might not even have been that. Like, so that, to answer everybody's question, that's what happened. They kept everybody inside because it's weak. Because everybody's gone weak with all this stuff. Oh, God. Is Bobby going to get pneumonia? It's 52 degrees outside and he's not wearing a parka. Everybody's got to stay in now. Nonsense, but that's what happened. So I sent her with snow pants and boots to keep it to school so I don't have to listen to this shit. That, oh God, there's did somebody see a snowflake? Everybody inside, kids, like it's a tornado. So that's where we are with this.
Verderam sent her with her black coffee and her pack of Marlboro Reds. What more does she need? I mean, come on.
You know, you joke. In high school, we were allowed to leave school to go get lunch. And there was a spot where, like, they literally designated for the kids to go smoke. Like, you went across the street. It was right near this one light post. And you went over there. And teachers and kids smoked together. Like, it was fine.
School spirit.
Now, hey, listen. It's fine. You got to bum a smoke something. Now, I don't smoke. I didn't smoke. But I'll tell you right now, if I was going to smoke, you damn well better believe it would have been with the gym teacher. Okay. Hung out. We would have talked about life. We would have sat there and smoked a lung dart. Okay. And now everybody's like, oh, no, you can't do that. You can't, oh, God forbid. No, like, I'm not for smoking. Stay away from the smoke, kids. Okay. But I'm all for personal responsibility. You take care of you. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing in the world. You take care of you. If my kid wants to go and play in the snow in shorts and a t-shirt, and damn it, I'm okay with it. I send them with shorts and a t-shirt. I'll worry about them getting hypothermia. You worry about you. School's getting way too involved these days, guys. I've had enough.
So, Ben, what are your bets?
Right, yeah. Between the milk and the hypothermia, like, I'd love to be a fly on the wall at that latest school just for a little bit. All right, should we dive into these Thanksgiving Day games?
I guess we're going to have to. Why not? The people are here for football.
Honestly, God, I'm having a lot more fun talking about this, but we might as well. The three games that are on the board, obviously, two big favorites. Yep. Bills got up to as high as minus 10 on the board against the Lions. Total's now all the way up to 54.5.
Oh, God.
Like, it's – Buffalo's going to have it feel like a home game, considering that they were there literally last week and started to turn things on in the second half.
Yep.
Here's where I think that the real question comes in. We know Buffalo's tendencies to cover in games. When they do, they destroy you. Their margin of victory still this year is the highest in the NFL. Their margin of victory is 10.7 points per game. Okay. But they're only 5-4-1 against the spread. Lions, after going through a pretty rough stretch, losing
50 years.
50 years. I was referring to the 0-5 mark against the spread. But that also is in consideration here as well. They have since won their last three games against the spread, and the total has gone over in three of their last four games. So the offense is back to waking up. They scored 31 points in their last two games. I don't count it against Chicago. That's a terrible defense. But scoring 31 on the road against the Giants was eye-opening here. As far as this game goes, hard for me to fade Buffalo here, even with the Lions starting to play a little bit more confident, starting to feel themselves a little bit. That's kind of sort of been the edge that they've missing. And Jamal Williams, a three touchdown game last week. He now leads the NFL, I believe, in rushing touchdowns this year. Swift looks to be healthy. I'm not, honest to God, guys, I'm not really sure how I want to play this one. I don't like Bills if it gets all the way up to 10. But, you know, I might kind of sit on the fence here and wait for Buffalo in the second half, knowing that they just have too much firepower, and ultimately the defense is starting to make some more adjustments. So my play is likely just going to be sit on this game, hope that it's relatively close, and then take Buffalo at a better number in the second half. But if I'm forced to take a game right now, I'll probably lean Buffalo 9.5 just because of how fast they can score. And I'm not necessarily buying that the Lions' defensive turnaround is going to hold up against a team like Buffalo.
Yeah, I think the Bills. I would take the Bills in this game. I just don't think Detroit can stop them. You know, I think it's one of these, the Bills might score 38 points, man. I just – the over is enticing, although I always worry about, like, Jared Goff and an over. Like, you just like, is he going to do it? Is he going to score 10 points today? I don't know. Who the hell knows? Like, they scored 31 against the Giants, and Jared Goff did absolutely nothing the entire game. So, I mean, take that into consideration. I'm with you. I like the Bills to cover. I know it's a big number, but I like them to cover the spread.
Yeah, I like the Bills in the over. I mean, Buffalo, you mentioned it. They're going to put up 40-plus points. It comes down to, can Jared Goff put up 15? He might not be able to, but Jamal Williams can.
Oh, boy.
Jamal Williams, DeAndre Swift, Amon Ross, St. Brown, they have some weapons over there. I like the over more than anything. The 9.5, you're right, that is a large number, especially with the ability of the Lions to run the ball. And let's say the Bills' deficiency of typically stopping the run. But I like this. I like the over in this one for sure.
Road favorites, by the way, in Thanksgiving Day games over the last several years. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but I believe in the last 14 of them, they've gone 10-4 against the spread. I'll confirm that as we go throughout the show, but another trend that very much is in favor of Buffalo here. All right, so that's the early game. You got the Giants and the Cowboys at 9.5, total of 44.5. this feels like it's too much of an inflated line from last week for Dallas.
Yes, exactly.
The team that was -1.5, -2, and that was clearly the right side against the Vikings that were due for some serious regression. We talked about it on the show last week. I like the Giants here, and I should have waited a little bit because I jumped on them maybe a bit too early. I got them at 8.5. I thought that was a good number. They're now up to 9.5. Giants aren't as bad as what we saw from them last week at home against Detroit. Daniel Jones, historically, over the course of his career, has been a much more profitable quarterback on the road as opposed to at home. And for as good of a defense as the Cowboys have, you can still neutralize it if Saquon Barkley has a big game, which big stage, big opportunity, bounce back spot for him. I like the Giants to hang around here. Maybe Dallas ultimately pulls away and they cover, but the Giants are one of those teams too, especially with how good they've been in the fourth quarter throughout most of the season. It was part of the reason that I jumped on them live in the previous game. Didn't end up working out. But I do think the Giants keep this one less than 9.5. I think this ends up being a Cowboys win, maybe by a touchdown by the time things are all said and done. So give me the Giants at +9.5 here.
Totally agree. I think the line's way too high. I think it's way too high. It's a reaction. No, Vegas knows they can bait the public because the public always plays the Cowboys. And the Cowboys just won 40-3. So it's this classic overreaction to both sides, right? The Giants looked bad. The Cowboys looked good. I'm a big believer in that whole axiom of, like, divisional games are always tight games. Or at least, or I shouldn't say always, but more often than not, they're tight games because these teams know each other so well. I think it will be a tight game. I don't think the Giants win. I do think it's just a one-score game. So I'm with you. I think Dallas, the other side of it, too, is you always have to think, like, even if Dallas is winning by two touchdowns, like, all you need is a garbage time on the backside of it, right? I mean, so, yeah, I like the Giants to cover. That's too big of a number for me.
Yeah, I agree. All the same things you guys have said. And also, I'm done going for what I think, and I'm just going to listen to you guys because I chose the Vikings, and I no longer get a say.
That's true.
Just found this stat as we were going through it. The Cowboys have covered once in the last 10 years on Thanksgiving. They are 1-10 against the spread in their last 11 Thanksgiving games. The lone time they covered was 2018. So
you're saying they're due.
It's not what I'm saying. Literally the complete opposite of what I'm saying. No, they're going to get over bet like they are right now. I'm on the Giants at +8.5. I might even just go ahead and make the bet again at 9.5. This is far too high of a number. I'll go ahead and take New York. And even if the public comes in a little bit more, like, then what? You get the Giants at +10? Even better.
Yeah. No, I hear you. By the way, quick PSA. I'm sure most people already know this. A lot of you guys in here also watch Arrowhead Addict, which we all appreciate, as we're all also on that podcast. We will be in Kansas City the weekend of December 11th. And we are going to be at the Tanner's Bar and Grill on that Sunday at the Rainbow Boulevard location, just on the other side of the state line there in Kansas. Please go check it out. We have an Eventbrite link. You can RSVP to it. I've tweeted out. Patrick Allen tweeted out. It's on the Arrowhead Addict YouTube page. Check that out and go. Heisler, are we going to see you that weekend? You're going
to
be around?
Yeah, the plan is for me to stop by for sure. I did you say it's going to be like a – because I think the Chiefs are currently set to play in the Sunday night game, right?
Sunday night against Denver, yep.
Okay. So, yes, the plan is absolutely to be on tap and hang out at Tanner's with you guys.
All right. Awesome. So make sure you guys get there if you're in the KC area. And even if you're not, what the hell? What's wrong with you? Fly. Get there. All right, let's get to the nightcap of the Thanksgiving Day games. The Vikings hosting the Pats.
Yeah, well, not a whole lot to dive into here. Minnesota has an opportunity to get back at home, shake off whatever the hell happened last week against Dallas. You know, right the wrongs for our guy Sterling here. It's 2.5, 3, depending on what sportsbook you look. The Patriots road favorites. They have really turned their defense around after getting shellacked by the Bears about a month or so ago, like fully embarrassed. The Patriots defense since that game, elite level in the NFL. Now, you can make an argument that their defense, I don't think, is as good as the Cowboys. Now, there's still plenty of playmakers there. But I also look at it as an opportunity for Kirk Cousins to right the ship a little bit. They'll they're embarrassed after what happened, and I think Kevin O'Connell will make some changes. But I also don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game either. My play in this game is the under at 42.5. I think you're going to see that continue to go down throughout the week. People really impressed with the Patriots last week against the Jets, although it's the Jets. And then Minnesota, fresh in everybody's mind of them not being able to score points at home. I also think that's a mistake. So before it goes down past 41.5 or so, I like the under here at 42.5 in the nightcap. So nice, boring, low-scoring game as we're all recovering from whatever we've just ingested and put into our bodies from earlier that day.
Yes, I've eaten 2,500 calories of starch. I think Minnesota is going to cover this. Why are they only laying 2.5 points in this game? I know they got killed by Dallas. I get it. Like, New England's not good. New England's not a good football team. I know everybody's like, well, they beat the Jets. The Jets stink. I don't care that the Jets are 6-4. The Jets have no quarterback. They're good defensively. They have no quarterback. Minnesota's going to win this game by a field goal or more. I will be very surprised if they don't. And I'm not saying I'm even like a huge believer in Minnesota. They're better than New England. Give me Minnesota.
Yeah, at home too. I know it's prime time. Kirk Cousins in prime time.
Scary.
It's scary, but you have to believe they beat New England. We went into this year saying New England's roster is horrendous. Bill Belichick's done a great job with that team. The defense is legitimately good, but yes, they can't score points. We're acting like the Patriots did a great job against this New York Jets defense. Again, the Jets defense is good. They scored 3 points and a punt return. How are they going to score against Minnesota? I like Minnesota in this game. I like your play of the under. I think it's a smart one there, Ben. But I'm going back and rolling with Minnesota. I'm an idiot. It's my third week in a row. I've been betting Minnesota. I'm 1-1.
Yeah.
Make me 2-1, iced out, Kirk.
Most weeks that people have been betting Minnesota this year, at least on the money line, they've covered. They haven't been a good spread team this year. It's kind of like the opposite of a few that's like Detroit last year was one of those teams that won 3 games but ended up going, I think, 10-6 against the spread. Or no, 11-6. Against the spread, 17-game season now. So
it's called a good right. team.
So we've gone through the Thanksgiving Day plays, get to best bets for week 12. Two of them we've already covered. We like the Giants to cover against the Cowboys this week. We also like the under between New England and Minnesota, although I know that Sterling and Verderam are on the Vikings at home to cover as well. Rest of the week 12 games, I like the Ravens. This is my first bet of the week that I sent that you could hopefully you guys read over in Verderam's Monday morning column. Ravens -3.5 at Jacksonville. Weird shit can happen in Duval County. I get it, but Baltimore is one of those teams that consistently under Lamar Jackson, under John Harbaugh, have just been a better covering team on the road. They just play more comfortably away from home, and I haven't really been able to figure out why. Got a wake-up call last week and barely surviving against a terrible Carolina Panthers team. So I like them to cover the 3.5, cover the hook on the road against Jacksonville. I think all three of these teams I like on the road this week. I like the Bucs -3 at Cleveland. Tampa's finally starting to get healthy defensively. They're starting to see a little bit more Rashad White in the offense. That's looked better as far as a run game that's been inconsistent. Their wide receivers are starting to be healthy, and Brady's getting a little bit more time in the pocket. And then the Bengals taking a money line on the road, another opportunity to fade Tennessee, which has not been profitable, considering that the Titans have been the hottest team in the NFL covering the spread. But again, a team that I do think is going to regress soon. They're still dealing with it with concerns and injuries in their pass rush. That's the biggest area of weakness for Cincinnati. And even with all the turnovers, Burrow still found a way to win. I just don't think that's going to be as much of an issue this week in Tennessee. And then the one last one I would say, I missed the under on Chicago and New York. I still think you can take it at 39.5 because I don't think Justin Fields is going to play. But once the sports books come out and give you team totals for the game, hammer the Bears under on their team total. Like if it's Trevor Siemian against that Jets defense this week, I heard my buddy Danny Parkin say on his show in Chicago, like, if I give you the option of saying the Bears are going to score 0 or 3 points, like, which one are you taking? There's no other option. Take the under on the team total there. I cannot for the life of me figure out how they're going to score anything. That's a great defense in New York. And depending on what they decide to do, whether it's Flacco, Mike White, or Zach Wilson, they're going to shut down the Bears, especially if Fields doesn't play. And honestly, they shouldn't play him. They should get him healthy and ready to go.
By the way, I think that's how the Bears score, is Zach Wilson throwing like a trio of pick sixes. That might be how it happens.
It could be. Yeah. If the Bears team total goes that way because of two pick sixes from that defense, then I'll eat as much crow as humanly possible. But it's not going to come from the offense.
Fair enough. Hey, listen, have a great Thanksgiving. Enjoy it with your two mobile children now who can raise hell. Good luck. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, man. And we'll talk next week.
All right, fellas. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the day. And for anybody that's going to be out at that Arrowhead Attic meetup in mid-December, looking forward to seeing you guys. Looking forward to seeing all of you that are hanging out with us. That should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks a lot, man. And everybody make sure to check out all of Ben's work at BetSided and all the BetSided work as well from others. So the YouTube channel, fansided.com/BetSided, the BetSided Twitter account, all of it. Check it out. Be there. All right, Ben, thanks a lot, man. Take care.
All right, see you later.
All right. It's that time. What's going on in your life other than the fact that you've teleported back to 1408 or whatever the hell, whenever the medieval era was?
Let me just talk about the most Midwest trip down here. All right. So we're in KC, driving down to southern Indiana, 30 minutes north of Louisville. And on the way down, Santa Claus, Indiana, we see signs for it. Who stopped at Santa Claus, Indiana? Jay Cutler's birthplace, by the way. Tiny town, and it's Christmas year round. I shit you not. There's just this massive store. It's called Christmas Lane, Christmas Boulevard, Santa Claus Avenue. It's incredible. We went into this Christmas store. It was a family from Houston going to St. Louis. They went from Houston to Santa Claus, Indiana, and then to St. Louis. And I'm just sitting here with these tiny little ornaments because I think it's funny to find the most gaudy ornaments possible, like the most just disgusting ornament you can possibly find. That's what I give out every year to my parents. Just the most funny one. You're like, it's like Santa Claus on like riding a shrimp or something like that. Something hilarious. Went there, got Cracker Barrel. Now I'm here in the middle of nowhere.
As one does in Santa Claus, Indiana.
Now I'm in Henryville, Indiana, town of 1800 and the birthplace of Colonel Sanders, baby. Colonel Sanders is a liar. It's not KFC. It's Southern Indiana FC. He's a liar.
Seems like KFC was the right decision there, though.
Yeah. Can't blame him.
Like KFC probably had a little bit more panache to it. Although, I'll throw out a hot take. KFC, it's not good.
No.
So, my daughter is approaching me. Hold on a second. Honey, 2 minutes and I'm all set, okay?
Well, okay. She wants. The only neighbors I have where I'm at right now are horses. So if she wants to go take a look at the neighbors, tell her to feel free.
Yeah, well, you're looking for lunch. It's fair enough. It's noon, so you got to get rolling. Hey, I will be brief so I can get this poor kid lunch. Lucas in the chat says the Devils are overrated. It's become a joke between the two of us at this point. The Devils, last night, they won again. The Devils have not lost in a month. This is becoming insane. I don't know what to do with this anymore. They've won 13 games in a row. It is now the longest, tied for the longest streak in their history. And the longest streak in NHL history is 17 games. The Devils are rapidly approaching this. They have Toronto on Wednesday night and then a home and a back-to-back with Buffalo and Washington at the end of the week, which they should beat both those teams. Well, of course, they could lose, but they should win. The Devils have become an unmitigated powerhouse, which was not something I expected to say this year. They can't lose. They played Edmonton and just blew Edmonton's doors off. So I don't, and it's the second time they beat them in this streak. It has been nothing short of miraculous. I sit down every night and I watch them and I think to myself, look, if they lose this game, you can't get annoyed with them. They've won X amount of games in a row. And then they just destroy whoever the hell's next. And you're like, okay, won again. So going for 14 against Toronto on Wednesday, we'll see if they can get it. But as the lingo goes in hockey these days, an absolute wagon, just a full blown. I just keep tweeting out the GIF of the Oregon Trail wagon with the ox pulling. Like, that's what it's become at this point. It's unreal.
This is the happiest I've ever seen you. You're like a kid on Christmas talking about the New Jersey Devils.
Like, it's not even like they're winning these games in like shootouts. Like, they just destroy whoever they play. Just destroy them. By the way, on a side note here, a chance in the chat says, flying up from Atlanta to see y'all. Can't wait. My man. Yeah, listen, you find me, I got beers for you. Because you're from Atlanta? But get you dinner. Look, so, look, I cannot wait to get to Kansas City. I'm really looking forward to it here in a few weeks. I'm going to eat, I keep saying if it's true, I'm going to eat enough barbecue to last myself a lifetime. And then a KC beer, I'm going to load up. I'm driving, so I'm gonna look like I'm basically trafficking alcohol back and forth. They're probably gonna get pulled over. They're gonna be searching the car. I am gonna try to fit literally like 200 beers in the car. So it's gonna be a good time. I can't wait. But listen, thank you so much for joining us here today. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Have a safe Thanksgiving. Enjoy yourselves. Watch some football. Do your Black Friday shopping if you choose to partake, and then watch the games on Sunday. So for Sterling Holmes, I am Matt Verderam. Thank you so much for joining us today. And we will talk to you again next week. No show on Sunday this weekend because of the holiday. No show on Sunday. So enjoy your weekend. You're free of me on Sundays. Thanks so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.